message title today is Comfort Is As Comfort Does. Comfort Is As Comfort Does. Somewhere along the line, I have an Elvis Presley song going around in my head. And I can't even...
I love Elvis.
Yeah, I just can't even remember what the words are. But it's something like that. But do you know what? I just need to say today, in terms of introduction, that we've had a rubbish year, really. You know, if we're absolutely honest, it's not been that good for a couple of years, has it? President Biden was at the annual big dinner they give for all the media news people, the White House, this week. And President Trump never held that. So for 5 years, in fact, there hasn't been one. And President Biden was there. And he stood up and he said, we've had a hell of a time. He said, we've had a terrible plague on our nation. And then on top of that, we've had 2 years of COVID. And of course, he was having a dig at President Trump. There was a lot of laughter, I have to say. But you know what? We have had real big issues in our land. We cannot deny that COVID has had a big impact. We are very, very blessed as a church that I don't think we've actually lost anybody to COVID. But we've lost so many people, particularly in the last year. For me, it started with Ed Jowett. I can't tell you how much I've been missing Ed just lately. I've been walking down the street and seeing people that look like people who were dead. Now, I'm not trying to go all sixth sense on you, but, you know, the other day, can't have been very many days ago because I've only been up and around again for a few days, but it was this week, I would have sworn that Joan Pixton was in front of me. And I had to go past her and look, and it wasn't Joan, obviously. It wasn't, as if I would look to check, you know. But I miss Ed so much. Ken Bybee, Brian Gill, these are people from Halves who I've got to know really, really well. Vivian and Ted Lumley. Agnes Mossop and George Bruin, these are people that have been on the periphery of our church. But these are people that have been involved in the funerals or the sending offs. And do you know, I just want to be absolutely honest with you. Some mornings I get up and I just don't want to ever do another funeral. On the other hand, I wouldn't let anyone else do them, you know what I mean? But it's, when does it all stop? The other day, somebody said to me on the phone, somebody quite a bit older than me, they said, I don't know about you, Stephen, but we've just lost so many friends lately. So many people have died. And my comment back to them was, well, we're getting on, aren't we? You do get to the point where you tend to lose more people than you certainly go to weddings of and that type of thing. We've also faced other challenges. In our Halves group, Jean Smith, Richard Smith, who are not related because they've got very rare names, they've had their battles. And now Richard Ayres is having a battle of his own. The reality of life is that we are given access to the God of all comfort. And I just want us to focus on this for a few minutes. In this passage in 2 Corinthians 1 that Bill read to us, the word comfort is rather overused. You know, it's like Joshua chapter 1, when every other word seems to be strong and of good courage. And I think it mentions it six times in the chapter. In this chapter, comfort's mentioned a lot more than six times. And it starts really because Paul encourages us to bless the God of all comfort. Now, I want to say this to you because I have found this to be true in my own life. Sometimes, to access the God of all comfort, we first need to bless him. We need to recognize him. We need to recognize that he is the God of comfort, and we need to bless him. Now, I don't know about you, but I like it when God blesses me. But the scriptures tell us to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. Not bless the Lord when you're feeling good. Bless the Lord in all circumstances, Sandra. That's right. We bless the Lord at all times. Not because we've just lost someone dear to us, or we've just had a terrible diagnosis. But we bless God because of who he is. Yeah. Do you know something? God simply is comfort. He is the source of comfort. He is the God who overflows in comfort. And we need to bless him for that. And that's the way we will always access his comfort. Let me encourage you today. Let's bless our God together. Let's thank him. Do you know what? When we thank God, when we bless him, when we honor his name, when we declare that he is good, when we do all of these things, we are plugging in directly to the mains. I've been following a train of messages in the news about electric vehicles, and you see so many of them where it's people going to a car park and they plug in. And in fact, a friend of mine told me this himself only recently. He plugged in, and 45 minutes later, he realized it wasn't working. And he stood there for 45 minutes, and it hadn't worked. And so he had to move. Fortunately, there was another one, and he moved to another one, and he got his charge. But do you know what? God never fails when we plug into him. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, and I do thank God for those days, I really do, but they taught us a song, "Ring up on the telephone to Jesus. He is waiting for you at the other end. Tell him all your troubles and your sorrows. He will tell you he's your loving friend. Ring up on the telephone to Jesus. He's waiting for your call." Yeah. And you know what? It's true. That's just sing along lyrics that a child learnt. But it's true. He is there. When we are stood here, we can't touch him. But when we reach out, we can. And when we call him, he's there. He is the God of comfort. We should bless him at all times. Paul tells us that the comfort we are given, we are deliberately given it to pass it on. Now, we live in a society where we give things to receive them and to hoard them. But Paul tells us that God's comfort isn't like that. We're given it to pass it on. Yes, it comforts us, but when it has comforted us, then we give it to other people who need that same degree of comfort. Passing on the comfort is really very important. Now, I know I can say this because we're all right. I know that you understand me. But I really struggle when I go into a church where they do something at the end of the service called sharing the peace. Now, what I really struggle with is people nod their heads like this. And I want to say, where's that dog from that insurance advert? You know, why did they do this? And they share the peace. And I just don't get this head nodding business. I really don't. And I'm sat there inwardly wanting to burst out with laughter, but being a man of God, I am trying to restrain that and smile sweetly at people. But you know, it's not like we nod at people and pass it on. Comfort costs you to pass on. Yeah. Now, with the Halves group, I run this group with the able assistance of Sandra and Graham. But I am the first to admit to people, I haven't lost my other half, but I have lost my son. And the comfort I have received from God, I can still pass it on. But you see, it's not always pain-free to pass on that comfort. To actually share how God comforted me isn't a pain-free experience because it digs it up in my mind. It all has to come back to me to share that comfort. But when it comes back to me, I can remember and realize the effectiveness of that comfort. And as I'm sharing it with you, one hopes that it is just as effective for you. It's given for us to pass on. Please don't think this is something that you get a little star on the wall next to your name. Oh, on the 1st of May 2022, Stephen received comfort. He is now our star pastor of the week because he received comfort. You know, it's just not like that. It's painful receiving comfort because you're in pain when God comforts you. And it's painful when we pass it on. But it is important, it's so vital that we pass on the comfort that we receive from God. I've said this before, so I'll be very brief. But, you know, when it comes to healing, I used to go to this dinner thing every month where they invited people to speak. And there was always a testimony about healing, how God had touched them. And I remember saying to God, God, I'll do that, but you'll have to heal me. And I got something that was a little bit delicate to talk about. I got a bladder infection. Now, I was a young man, and you don't really want to talk about bladder infections when you're a young man. But do you know what? God challenged me when he healed me. Yeah. I had a very dramatic healing, and God said to me, was this what you meant? And you know what? I was able to share that. And then as the years went by, God gave me some other very dramatic healings. I remember getting ready for bed and my wife praying for me because my throat was closing up because my tonsils were so inflamed. And she prayed with me, and literally, we looked in the mirror with a torch, and they were huge. And she prayed, and literally, the swelling had gone. Yeah. And I could talk to you about time after time. I could talk to you about the time when I was 33 years old, and God healed my vision. Yeah. And I was able, instead of having to wear spectacles to find my way to the toilet, I was able to drive home 23 miles. God healed me. And you know what? God has healed me and done things in my life so many times, but there again, we lost our son. And you know what? In all of these things, what God has given me, he's given me it to pass on, not to hoard, not to put it on a shelf, not to put a spot lamp on it and put it in a nicely gold-rimmed frame. It's there to pass on. We should always remember that about the comfort that God gives us. Comfort isn't affliction specific. I need to just explain this. Now, in our Bibles, the word that is translated into English as affliction is a Greek word, phlipsis, and it has a, like a lot of Greek words, it has a word picture with it to help us understand what the word means. And the word picture is imagine you've got a donkey and he's going up a mountain pass. It's very narrow. It's so narrow, the donkey can't turn round to come back. And it's a constant rise all the way up. And what's more, you have loaded the donkey with the maximum amount of weight it can bear, and it's treading up the mountain pass, and it has no option about turning around or going back. If it stands still, it's in a predicament because it's then got to start again. And who knows that starting when you've stood still is not always easy. This is an understanding for us of what this word affliction means. It's like you've got to go on, but you can't go on. You're weighed down with a burden that you can't bear, but you've got to carry it. That's the sense that's behind this word. And this word in this chapter is primarily talking about persecution for your faith. So when Paul here is talking about the affliction that he's experienced, he's actually talking about the three times they took stones to him, and by stones we're talking of half bricks, you know, and they threw them at him. One time he was stoned so he died. And there were three times he was shipwrecked. You know, this is fantastic, isn't it? This is the example to us. The greatest apostle in the Bible, Paul, he did so much. He was absolutely amazing guy. He was a tremendous progenitor of the faith, leader of the faith. And he did nothing but get bitten by snakes, dumped in the sea, left on the garbage heap dead after being stoned. He actually got let down the city walls on a rope in a basket because they were coming for him. You know what? This is not what I would call a really cool life. These are examples of affliction, of pain, of actually a terrible experience. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Now look, Paul says here that the affliction he experienced and the comfort God gave him while experiencing the affliction, that comfort he has passed on to us, even though our affliction is not exactly the same. So, you can be comforted by somebody who has received God's comfort for a totally different thing. And that also tells you that you are able to comfort people in what they're going through, because in what you went through, God comforted you. It's about who was comforting. And it's about pain. It's not about the description of that pain or the very specific nature of it. You see, I actually don't know anybody who's been stoned three times or shipwrecked three times. So, you see, what good does Paul's comfort do? It does a massive amount of comfort because he received it from God and he passes it on to us through the scriptures. And that is the truth of our comfort when we are sharing with people. Comfort isn't specific to the affliction that it has been given for. But, you know, it's still effective. Thank God that he cares. Yep. Thank God that he cares. When I was a little boy, my mother was threatening to kill me. And although I was only 4 years old, I managed to move a little chest of drawers under the handle of my bedroom door so my mother couldn't get in. And I sat there, not knowing anything about God, other than I'd been taught the Lord's Prayer. And I sat there repeating the Lord's Prayer one a time after another until my father got home from work and I could breathe again. And with his encouragement, I managed to move the chest of drawers so he could force the door open and hug me. You know what? That doesn't help a lot of people. But the sense of comfort that God put in my heart when my father embraced me, I can explain that. And I can share that with people who just need a hug. And you know what? That's what's so important. That we understand that comfort isn't specific to the affliction, it's to do with who's giving it.
We all need a hug now and again.
Even Paul was overwhelmed sometimes. Now look, I'm not trying to destroy your wonderful image of the Apostle Paul. I'm trying to help you see what the Bible says about him. It says here in 2 Corinthians 1, he was overwhelmed. Now, what does overwhelm mean? Well, it means when the waves go over the top of your whelm. When you are smothered in your problem, when it's all become too much. Even then, Paul says, God comforted him. You know, there's a great sentence at the end of one of the epistles where Paul says, Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus. And there have been people written books on that sentence. Well, it's a fragment, it's not a sentence. Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus. Trophimus was one of Paul's helpers. He travelled with him. Like Paul, he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Trophimus was a tremendous man of God, supported back by his local church, and he toured the then known world with the Apostle Paul. But when they got to Miletus, Paul had to leave him behind because he was so ill. And he thought he would die. Now, what's that mean? You know, the Apostle Paul, you've laid hands on the sick, you've prayed over blind eyes, they've popped open. Why couldn't you do anything for Trophimus? And which of us have not at some time cried out, God, why couldn't you do anything for that person? Or for me? Why couldn't you stop that? Well, we all know that sometimes God doesn't. But it's not because he loves us any less. It's actually a reality that he wants to squeeze our hand more. And he wants to walk with us through the pain and through the affliction. And if you're saying to me, but you've no idea what it's like for me, Stephen, because I'm overwhelmed. Actually, I do have some idea what that's like because I've been overwhelmed too. And if the Apostle Paul was overwhelmed, then none of us are so bad at being a Christian because we've been overwhelmed. It's just a reality of the Christian life. And you know, at the end of the day, Paul was put to death for his faith. And you've got to say to yourself, well, that wasn't much of a victory, was it? Stephen, weren't we supposed to believe in victory in the Christian life? Yes, but sometimes it results in your death. And we have to understand that however overwhelmed we may be, the God of all comfort wants to stand there with us, wants to hold our hand, give us a squeeze, and take us through to the other side. Once upon a time, I went to visit a dear old lady in hospital. She wasn't part of our church, but I'd known her from a previous life, so to speak. And somebody had told me that she was very ill in hospital. So I went to the hospital, I said, have you got what's her name? And they said, yeah, ward 24 or whatever. And I went up to the ward and the nurse said to me, you won't get anything out of her, Stephen. She's very close to death. So I went in and I just touched the top of her foot at the bottom of her bed. And her eyes went wide open. She said, oh, hello, Stephen. I've been waiting for you to come and visit me. I hadn't seen her for years. And so we sat and we talked. And I ended up saying to her what I end up saying to most people that I visit. They're elderly and they've got a bad diagnosis. And I say to them, how do you want me to pray? And she said to me, well, Stephen, I think it's time I went to be with Jesus. So I took her hand and I prayed with her and I said, today you will be with me in paradise. And I just prayed over her and I prayed, God, just take her home and give her a great party. Amen. I went home and later that day she died. Now, was that a terrible calamity? No. It was sad. I've still got her family Bible in my office and I have to have a special shelf for it because it's so high. It's, I haven't anything else that's that deep. But the God of all comfort embraced her to himself. And you know what? That's good. It still hurts for those that are left behind. Let's be absolutely honest about that. It's overwhelming. But God knows how big our whelm level is. And he knows when we're overwhelmed. And he knows how to bring comfort. And receiving that comfort and working it through takes a while. My father died when I was 7 years old. I didn't cry until I was 14. But one day when I was 14, I was sorting through some old photographs and I had the photo of my father and mother's wedding. They got married in the Second World War and you were allowed one black and white photo and that was it. And in this photo, it became painfully obvious to me that my father's chest was concave because he had had malnutrition as a child. And I began to cry and I wept and I wept and I had a long talk to God. And you know what? The comfort flowed. I'd waited 7 years for it, but then God had waited 7 years for me to really react. You know, it isn't a question of when, it's a question of who do we look to? Libby said the other day about that psalm that we sang, I'll look to the hills from whence does my help come from. You know, that doesn't mean our help is coming from the hills. In the ancient Near East, the peoples always worshipped in high places because they felt that it was something more spiritual about going up a mountain. But that isn't what David is saying in that psalm. What the psalmist is saying is, I look to the hills, but actually I look beyond the hills to where my help comes from. My help comes from you. And it's important that when we're overwhelmed, we look to the one who reaches down to us. In this few verses that Bill read to us, Paul sort of ties it up with this thought that God raises the dead. Now, I think that this is particularly relevant to Paul because his work wasn't done when they stoned him to death, so God raised him from the dead. So Paul experienced the resurrection prematurely. But I think what he's really getting at here is that ultimately we face affliction, we face persecution, we face all types of troubles, we face cancer, we face heart disease, we face all types of trouble in this world. But God raises the dead. We have a song we recently learned, Willoughby. Who has the final say?
Oh, yeah.
Jehovah has the final say. And you know what? The final word is?
Jehovah.
It's resurrection. That's God's final word on everything. It's, some of us will die, but we will all hear the word resurrection, and God will be speaking it over us, and we will be up again, and we will meet him in the air, and we will be with him forever, and we will reign with him. For all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that salvation is rooted in a last resurrection. A resurrection when we stand before him, but he is able to put an arm around us and say, Father, just to let you know, this one's mine.
Yes.
And that's the final word.
Yep.
The final word is resurrection. God raises the dead. And Paul had experienced it. And do you know why he wasn't worried about dying again? Because he knew the power of resurrection. Why should he fear resurrection? He had met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. And he'd been trying to wipe out Christians. He knew that God raises the dead because he met the God who raised them. And he also experienced a massive touch when God healed his broken, smashed body from the barrage of stoning. In all of these things, we need to know this. If God doesn't deliver us now, God will raise us from the dead.
Yeah.
My last anecdote. My pastor, when I was 18, 19, 20, when he got to be 70, he got quite a nasty cancer. And he didn't last long, but he said to me, and he said to many of us, he said, if God heals me, I'm healed. It's a terrific testimony. It's fantastic. If God doesn't heal me, I get to be with him forever and ever, and I walk away from the troubles of this life. He said, I can't do anything other than win.
Yeah.
And he said to me, Stephen, it's a win-win situation. You'll remember him saying that. You know, the reality is, is it's a win-win for us because God raises the dead. God raises the dead. Now listen, there are some things I'm not giving up on. And I'll tell you what, I'm not giving up on you, Richard.
No.
We're not going to have any funeral for you, mate.
No.
Someone long after me will do yours, right? But what we are going to do is we're going to face affliction with the comfort that God gives us. I can't say that, Richard, you aren't going to have the odd bit of pain. But what I can say is God, who is rich in mercy, God, who is the God of all comfort, will comfort you. He will comfort Ruth. He will comfort your family. He will comfort all of us because he gives us comfort so we can pass it on.
Yep.
Now do you understand my sermon title?
Yeah.
Comfort is as comfort does. It's not something we stick on a ward on the wall or on a glass cabinet. It's something we pass it on. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus and we just say, oh Lord God, comfort your people. Comfort us, oh God. Lord, we don't like losing folk. We don't like pain of any sort. But we thank you that you are the God who embraces us and loves us and puts your arm around us. And you don't just say they're there because you are there. And we thank you that ultimately you raise the dead. And our promise that we have received from you is that we will be with you in paradise. And Lord, we are grateful for that and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I'm just asking that for all of us, you would stir up your comfort in our lives. Help us this week to know the powerful, comforting arm of God around us, and help us to know what it's like this week to share some of the comfort we have all otherwise received, and just to be a blessing to folk. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.